Father in heaven, Lord, with our eyes fixed directly on Christ who ascended there to be by your side to minister on our behalf, remembering all that went before that, we ask for your grace to be poured on us today, for your presence to be amongst us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord has provided an eyewitness account for us in the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, that I'd like to read, and I'm going to read from the 27th verse. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Read that again. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour, that's about noon, Jesus was crucified at 9 in the morning. From the sixth hour or noon until the ninth hour, which would have been 3 p.m., darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I have a Lebanese friend who told me that in Aramaic, that phrase, my God, why have you forsaken me, is closer translated, "Why have you stopped walking with me? Why have you stopped being beside me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. There were three crucifixions that day. The Lord of glory, the Creator, betrayed by his creation, and two common thieves, one on his left and one on his right. And even they mocked him. Both of them like us because we've mocked him too. Though we know from Luke that one of them repented and was promised salvation. Again, just like us. And as was prescribed for Passover sacrifice, not one of Jesus' bones were broken, although the thieves had to endure both of their legs being shattered with all the pressure of their weight pressing down on those injuries. You may not know it, but the word excruciating comes from the word crucify. It means literally out of crucifying. A good word for this. But for Christ, though his legs were not broken, a spear was thrust into his side and his blood flowed out and flowed over the hard rocks of the Calvary escarpment. With all this and more in mind, the Apostle Paul states in our scripture reading, Galatians 6, verse 14, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." In this one conversion declaration, Paul points again to three crucifixions, and it would be worth it for you to look closely at this verse. It's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. The first crucifixion that is pointed to there is Christ's. He said, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Greek construction of that sentence says, "the cross of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ." From a human point of view, crucifixion is nothing but ugly. It's a nightmare to wake from. And yet the apostle, in a very clear contrast to the person who had to endure it, sees only the glory of this cross. What is there to boast about in the Lord's crucifixion? Well, if you put your mind to it, you'd probably come up with many things. I'd like to focus here on just a few of them. Firstly, it was a display of the divine character because Christ, God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us. Secondly, it was the culmination of the Savior's love for us. Remember, Jesus had said in John 15:13, "Greater love has no man than this." Thirdly, his sacrifice was an atonement for all my sins. Well, there's reason to glory and boast right there. Fourthly, he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." His crucifixion has caused all men to pause and to take a look at him, even if it's just a curious look. But that look has been the means of cutting through to people's hearts and been the changing of many people's lives. Fifthly, seeing Jesus die and rise again has deprived death of its element of terror. Death is just not what it used to be in our esteem. And finally, his crucifixion is our guarantee for heaven. It's a guarantee for all of his faithful followers, lifting despondent souls and filling them with hope and peace and with joy. In any one of these things, the cross has become a pillar of light to the world and worthy of boasting about. There's a second crucifixion that's mentioned here by the apostle, where he said, "The world has been crucified to me." The concept and the reality of living in this world but not being of this world has always been a struggle for Christian people. And it's a maturing factor for our characters. Here the apostle helps us clear up our vision by getting us to focus and to see all things, including this world, through the light of the crucifixion. The world has been crucified to me. As a result of seeing all things in the light of the cross, he sees this world like that unrepentant fellow he was crucified with there beside him. This man, just like the world, was created to be a blessing, was created to glorify God, but he was corrupt and was willing to stay that way, determined to stay that way. The sinful world that produced that man now stands condemned. Its character is condemned. Its judgment is shown to be flawed. Its teachings have been proven foolish. Its honors, its treasures, its prestige are seen to be just dust. Its threatenings and its violence betray Satan's influence behind it. And it itself, this world, will soon pass away and be replaced with the earth made new. Truly, this world is not my home, and we are just passing through. Then there's a third crucifixion mentioned by the apostle there in verse 14. The verse said, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." That's the third one, I to the world. Paul recognized that if the world hated Christ as his follower, it wouldn't like him much better. The faithful Christian can expect to be treated badly in this society. As a Christian, you will probably find that you are ridiculed and bullied and threatened. You'll find that your name rarely tops the list of your field. Your actions and your motives will be misrepresented, that you'll be referred to with unflattering adjectives and considered unsophisticated and of doubtful intellect. Your teachings will be considered old-fashioned, if not puritanical. And you will be written off as irreclaimable and thus dead to society. The apostle says you can boast about that. So when these things happen to you, don't think God has abandoned you or ask, have I done something wrong that things aren't going well for me with this world? It's not that at all. You should boast. Boast that you have been considered worthy to share in Christ's treatment by this world. Paul is one who personally sacrificed for the gospel, as he said, "I bear on my body the marks of Jesus," saw this lesson as the pinnacle of all his teachings. Remember, he said, "I determined to know nothing except the cross of Christ." Let us glory in the cross because it crucifies the world's glory and honor and power, and it magnifies and illuminates Christ's glory and honor and power. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, on this day, I ask you to please bless us as a people, as a congregation here, as individuals, that the light of the cross would illuminate our own hearts, that you would fill our heart, that you would cauterize any wounds there with that light, that the light would purify any uncleanness that is found there, and that it would burn through the darkness. Lord, please fill us with your light, with your peace, with your hope, with your glory. Let us really understand and experience what it means to be Christians. I pray this in Jesus' name.